Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, we're back, and it's now or never. So we've been really busy, and we've been working hard in fighting for your liberties in the state houses of South Dakota and Wyoming. We're hoping to be in Oklahoma next year. We're hoping to be in your state, but we need your help to be there. These bills are clear-cut, standing, hardcore requirements of getting the state to actually do what they have been supposed to be doing for the past 200-plus years. So bottom line, going all the way back to 1798 when Virginia and Kentucky stood up to protect the Constitution and preserve it. Bottom line is we've got a lot of stuff to kind of cover. And so today being Feedback Friday, yay, we're going to try to go through the remaining stuff that I need to go through, because really the majority of my feedback has been, when are you going to have those calls? And or, there's a few people that I received an email from, forgive me, I'm really bad with names, but I believe the gentleman's name was Jim. And he, kind of came off with this. This really intuitive, explanation, or actually, basically, bottom line, he was kind of coming out to say he doesn't understand millennials and the kids today that are, becoming voters. And he just says understanding them is really, it's a best guess type of thing. And it's an indictment that really just goes to prove how we have failed as parents. We have failed as grandparents in trying to assert values and morals to our children. Now, you may have in your family, but I'm saying as a society, the reason why we have probably less than 50% people active in Christianity, going to church and those types of things, less than 50%, folks. In the 90s, it was around 60% people that, claimed to be Christian and went to church on a regular basis, not just for the, Christmas and those types of things. So things are changing, and they're changing rapidly. And I'm telling you that the progressives know what they're doing. We've reported on the education system and how many kids are in the pipeline. We're talking, I mean, this was a few years ago, but we're talking over 20 million. Over the next 10 years, 20-some million. Actually, no, it was more than that. I think it was like 50 million. 50 million godless kids that have been taught that it's, they've been all basically indoctrinated with the social engineering coming out of the federal government. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are homeschooled, but it is still a small percentage. I mean, 100,000, maybe 2 million people are homeschooling. Out of the millions and millions and millions of kids attending school, it's not enough. This is why I tell you homeschooling is not, people that do homeschooling, then they think they're done. They've solved the problem. Well, yeah, you solved the problem for yourself. This goes down the same path that, I complain about people that go down the path of becoming a sovereign citizen. I mean, I understand you have reasons for it, and there may be really good reasons to, to do what you feel is best for you. But we need every fist in this fight, throwing blows and punches. We need every able body to, to man their stations, to demand compliance of the Constitution. And what happens is, I've taken care of my problem by taking my kids out of school. They don't work anymore in trying to hold the public school system accountable. There's way too many of them that say, I'm doing my part. And in a way, it is very selfish. I can't come up with a better word. You know, taking care of your own needs, yeah, that's important, but making sure that we're taking care of each other is equally important. It's Christian. It's compassion. Anyway, one of the things that we will be getting into, and as a matter of fact, one of the things I've been promising you is that we will be having that national call, and it looks like we'll be doing that probably more likely the second week of March. We just need to get some people kind of abreast and trained with, you know, how to use the phone lines and all of that. But you're going to be able to dial in, and we've nailed the day down to a Wednesday, and that'll be 7:30 Eastern time, 4:30 Pacific time, because most people are getting off around 4 or 5 o'clock on Pacific time. So get off a little early on Wednesday and work a little longer on Thursday so that you can make the call. If you want to talk, if you have a question, you need to at least email me the question. I can actually read your question. Or if you're online and it's, you know, something that we, you know, want to expound upon further. So, you know, if you're smart and you word your question a specific way, then, you know, to make it seem like, okay, well, this requires a little bit of a discussion, then, you know, we'll open up the line for you so that you can talk. But we're going to actually have a few different people kind of establishing. So this, the first meeting or two will probably be more of getting to know each other, who they are, where they are, and kind of what they're doing so that everybody understands, you know, the different players. And then what we want to do is start talking about what they're doing in these different areas, what their strategies are. And, you know, we can start kind of divulging, because you never know. You might be able to help somebody in a state that you may have friends or relatives in. You may, you know people or family and say, hey, you know, there's some things going on you need to be aware of. Go connect with these guys, sign some petitions, get involved. The word of mouth is always the best advertisement, because people usually take your word for it because they know you. If they don't know somebody, and that's somebody up there, that's one of the reasons why they usually use star endorsements for products, is because, oh, well, you know, if that star is doing it, it must mean something, right? Well, to be honest, we all know that star is being endorsed, you know, being paid to endorse the product. And most everybody tends to forget the fact that entertainers are professionally trained to lie. Right? That's what they do. They take on a persona to be somebody else, and they, you know, play this part of somebody else. That's a lie. They're not up there being themselves. So, I mean, because it's inherent in entertainment, in that type of entertainment, television, music, movies, it doesn't matter. So anyway, I don't want to be remiss in not telling you, if you go to our YouTube channel to, you know, check out the videos, make sure you take a second and subscribe to our videos, so that to our video channel, our YouTube Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channels. That way you will be able to get notifications when we, you know, post things up there with RSS feeds and so forth. So anyway, one of the other things that I need to, I haven't said this in a long time, but as you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. I know that most of you know how I really just, I loathe entertainers and people that, you know, want to just talk about, you know, these terrible things. I mean, I know I have not talked about these railroad derailments and the killing of, you know, wildlife, the destroying of the inhabitability of certain places on the earth, because this is by design. And there's, you know, there are people that are, you know, finding videos and so forth. I haven't seen them, don't know the credibility, but I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I mean, over the past year, how many food processing plants and food, you know, areas, like, you know, like chicken havens or big, huge corporate chicken coops and pig facilities and all of these different areas that provide us with our essential services of food and food production, over 100 of them have been taken out by fires, sabotage of some kind. Folks, this is not a coincidence. These things that are happening, this is not a coincidence, and it is all to drive some grand, I'll just say, it's all designed to create this grand solution that some despot is going to provide us, whether it comes from Congress, whether it comes from the president, whomever. It doesn't matter. Every time they create a crisis, they always have a beautiful solution of tyranny to unleash upon us. This is what they call the ratcheting effect, and Robert Higgs talks about it, from crisis to Leviathan. And so this is how it works, and this is what we're seeing right now. So we can, you know, my heart goes out to everybody that's suffering. My heart truly does. But we can't expect these evil people to just wait until, just to be patient. They're going to be pushing and pushing and pushing to get their agenda and their goals completed. That's what they're doing. That's what you can expect. So what do we need to do? Do we need to sit here and just constantly worry and entertain you on our pithy wit that we can, you know, come up with these great sound bites that, you know, make you feel better, that we sure hit the nail on the head there and really identified the problem? No, that's not what we should be doing. What we should be doing is actually talking about what we can do and how we can take our power back and take our republic back, take possession and hold our public servants accountable to their oath of office. This is what it's all about. It's either you be a part of the solution or you continue being a part of the problem. And everybody that's listening to Levin or the rest of these entertainers right now or throughout the day, you're wasting your time. We will be right back after this promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. So over the past year, we've actually exposed you to the Constitutional Alliance and Mark Lerner, whom I need to call. I know he's had some, you know, health concerns, and I know that, you know, some of those concerns have, you know, some real concerns have kind of been put to the wayside, excuse me. So what we have done is we've actually shown you how the Real ID Act and this identification and this what we'll call biometrics capability that they're using for monitoring, crowd control, just like what they're using in China, how this is the portal for full government control. Now, I know that they don't have cameras in the middle of, you know, Montana and throughout Wyoming and so forth. But if you live in a populated area, they're coming to your neighborhood soon. And so this is something that they're laying it out, folks. In addition to this, something that most people have been talking about is these digital currencies. I don't know if it's a CBD or whatever. it doesn't matter what the acronym is. The bottom line is that the federal government and actually the progressive lobbyists are working right now in your state to pass a law that your state will allow and facilitate a digital currency, moving you to a cashless society. Ironically, that bill passed in the House legislature, or the House of Representatives in the South Dakota state legislature, where there were only a few people that voted against it. And I am absolutely flabbergasted that they actually, that some of the people even voted for this. Some people that claim to be constitutionalists, some people that have a great level of credentials of being a hardcore conservative. How do they not understand? So in talking with, you know, some lawyers, in talking about a legal strategy and a political strategy of what to do, I provided them an outline of how a digital currency, when a state passes that law, how it actually violates the Constitution. Now, I've posted this on the Take Action page, and because this is such, I mean, the magnitude of this is that important. And what I'm telling you, because I'd heard that there's been this talk, you know, at a federal level and so forth regarding this digital currency and cashless society. I didn't know when it was brought up to me earlier when people said, hey, what do we do about this? Folks, you better worry, because things are happening a lot faster than you think. And don't tell me that I didn't tell you. Don't tell me that we haven't given you over the past, what, I've been doing this for practically 10 years now, talking on the radio, you know, off and on, and for a solid, 8 years, folks. Please, please start getting involved. If you found out that your state had passed this law, then work with me to, you know, basically get a petition moving to overturn that law by using your county commissioners and demand that they overturn this recently passed law. Hopefully the governor doesn't sign it. I can tell you right now, the Governor Noem of South Dakota will sign that bill. She is not a constitutionalist, nor does she care about the Constitution. She cares about the bureaucracy that gives her power and the lobbyists that support and grow that bureaucracy for her. When we start looking at these Republican candidates, you better start getting your eyes cleaned up and get your vision straight. It's either about the Constitution or it's about a facade of conservatism. And I am telling you, conservatism is not, and does it not, it does not equal a public servant who is willing to ardently support the Constitution. I look at all of these folks and I say they're all dangerous. Even, what is it, Santos or the Florida governor? Anyway, fact of the matter is, folks, if we don't make this happen, it's not going to happen, because no president can save us, nor no president can protect us. As a matter of fact, when it comes down to it and everything hits the fan, the globalists will be there to say, this is what you're going to have to do. And everybody's going to feel like their hands are tied. The reality is they're not. The states can actually blow this castle of cards down with one puff. And I'm not talking about a wind. I'm literally telling you it is a puff, because they are cards. They are not rooted in the foundation of the laws of this nation. They're not established and attached, definitively attached to the Constitution. These are all basically the color of law. So we want you to get into this. So go check out this digital currency and look into, you know, your state. Did your state pass any laws that would allow and facilitate the movement in accepting digital currency at the state level? You need to read these bills. And oh, by the way, as I understand it, the bill in South Dakota was like 115 pages or more. Anyway, let me get into some, you know, issues and some things and comments that I possibly have made. But I said, well, I'll get into that. So to be clear, I have said this before, that Indians are really not sovereigns in the way that we've been told. The 14th Amendment is really, really clear. And you know what? It's always best to actually read it for you so that you can see for yourself precisely, you know, what the 14th Amendment really does. And in Section 1, this is the language of the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state where they reside. So explain to me how all of the Indians who've lived here on this land, on this continent, for, you know, however many years, and under the existence of the United States as they took eminent domain and control by using, you know, whatever force necessary under the laws of nations, that was the existing law of the world for Western society. And as a matter of fact, to be really clear, if you look at the colonies and how they transformed into the United States and how we basically took over this continent, or I should say from sea to shining sea, the continent, what we call the continental United States, the lower 48, right? When we look at how we did it, I think everybody should be glad that we at least adhered to the laws of nations as we expanded before, you know, unlike the Portuguese and the Spanish, who basically raided, pillaged, and plundered the poor people in Central Mexico, Central South America, and so forth. You know, it's amazing what a little bit of latitude in separations from countries such as Britain and Portugal and Spain, or France and Portugal and Spain, had. Because bottom line, France and Britain and Holland and their colonies as they came to America, they were not nearly as brutal, nor were they as nearly as vicious in creating a whole new race. I mean, if you understand what the Spaniards did by basically having babies with the indigenous people, it created this whole new, you know, the Mexican, you know, race, because it was a mixture of Spanish and Indian blood. And so if you look, that didn't happen here. If you look at some of the atrocities, that really didn't happen. And as a matter of fact, I do know that the federal government lied because they assumed that they had powers in granting these reservations and so forth. But bottom line, they too have been lied to, just like all of us, as they created the corporations in the middle of the 1800s and how they've abused, you know, believe it or not, not just the Indians. I mean, the abuse the Indians have put up with, or the Native Americans, whatever you want to, you know, whatever title we have to apply here. I understand that it was all unconstitutional and it's just been terrible. The only way to make this right, because I've said this before, reparations are unconstitutional. When government does something, even if it's by the color of law, there is no ability to come back and say, oh, well, that was a violation. The only thing you can do is actually just make things right. And there's a way to easily make things right. And it's probably not what you think, and I don't want to get into that at this point. But the fact of the matter is, when we look at this one clause in the 14th Amendment, Indians, if they're living on a reservation, if they were born on a reservation, or if they were born within the United States, and their parents were, you know, born on the United, you know, in the United States, and on and so forth and so on, they've never been under any other jurisdiction in the past century other than the United States jurisdiction and the state jurisdiction. The bottom line, based on that 14th Amendment, all persons born here under the jurisdiction thereof are citizens. So they may be dual citizens, and I don't really believe that they're necessarily dual citizens, because as I look at the American or Native American culture, I don't look at it as a governing culture. It may have been more of a cultural and, or I would even say a religious culture, because when you look at the different tribes, there were definitely different variations on very similar doctrines of the belief systems and so forth. But I'm not going to jump out there and, you know, dance around on the limb saying that that was necessarily a government, because there was a lot of things that governments actually did. I think that it was in a very raw form, possibly governing, but don't churches and theocracies govern? Yes, they do. And so, anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
You know, so, yeah, theocracies kind of are a form of government, but it was really, really, I mean, and in some ways, it was like the chief or, you know, however the structure of the tribe was managed. It was a crude form of government, but it wasn't necessarily anything that was really well defined and laid out. Now, there's lots of, you know, folklore and cultural things that have been passed down over the many generations. And so it's obviously, at a minimum, it is a culture. And the cultures are different among them. But America being, you know, the land of liberty, so that all people can enjoy their culture and, you know, express their religion freely. The fact that they've been sitting on state property that the federal government has claimed as federal property is what I would just consider the most domestic nightmare and domestic abuse that this nation has been perpetuating for decades, for over a century. So I just want to be clear that moving forward, you know, we have to address all of these types of problems, this mess that these tyrants in D.C. have created for all of us. I believe we need their help. And I believe that if you look today, there are leaders within the, you know, these various tribes that have been all co-opted into the woke society, and they have no clue. Or actually, I would just say the majority of the people in these tribes have no clue how these people are selling their souls and selling their culture, all at the expense of, you know, their liberty, everything, just so they can stick it to the Constitution. This, they're working to undermine and destroy the Constitution, and they're working with the globalists, and they have no idea, or maybe they don't care, as long as they stick it to the Constitution. This isn't about Whitey. This is literally about their liberty, and they have no idea what they're doing. I'm serious, folks. So I believe that there is a large opportunity for those people who do love liberty, who want to preserve their culture, because I'm going to tell you, in the New World Order, there will only be one religion. There will only be one government. There will only be one currency, and it won't be the currency, religion, and, you know, government of the, you know, Cherokee Nation, the Crow, or anything. It will be the globalist, and it will be communism. And if they're not honest enough to acknowledge and understand the magnitude, because they're not playing by the same rules. They're not playing by the laws of nations. They are doing everything they can to undermine the laws of nations and all nations to seize control. So why is it that there's not this effort in trying to help understand? I mean, there's been an effort in sharing Christianity with the Indians. We should have been sharing with them the concepts of liberty and the benefits of the U.S. Constitution, because the Constitution does not wipe out their tribe. You know, the tribe never had tangible property. The standard amongst all that I know of, except for maybe down in the Arizona with the Adobe or what have you. But for the most part, most all of the tribes were nomad tribes. In other words, they didn't have a place they called home. They considered the land their home wherever they went. It was kind of like that old Christian philosophy of wherever two meet, they're, you know, they're in the presence of God. You know, you don't have to have a church. Well, so there's actually, and as a matter of fact, the interesting thing is if you read, I think it's the American Patriot, as well as if you read J.M. Roberts' World History, they both kind of talk about traditions and things of the American Indians that have more ties and associations to the Middle East and the Middle East culture, Israel. And, you know, those things, because if you look at their pottery and those types of things, they definitely did not have the same kind of techniques and the application of pottery from those people who supposedly came across the land bridge. I mean, there's some real, I mean, everybody is out there espousing, I think, really dead philosophies. I mean, if you really want to ask yourself a question regarding the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere, you have to first tell me who was it that created those pyramids down in the Carroll Pyramids down, I think it's in Peru or Chile. It's definitely in South America. Go look them up, Carroll Pyramids. You'll find that those pyramids were created 3,500 years B.C., folks, that was during the Egyptian era. And so, you know, there is no other edifices of man-made structures in North America that go back that old. And you know, so, and actually this finding, this is why this is a very, you know, nobody likes talking about this, because what they found out of this culture of people in the Carroll Pyramids doesn't associate or relate to almost any other society. Here was a group of people that had no known enemies. They had no, weapons of war and or of defense. They had, you know, hunting tools like, you know, arrows and fishing nets and hooks and those types of things. But they had no shields. They had no types of defenses and that type of, you know, implements of war. And it's been said that, you know, here's a race and a culture of people that may have died off, but it actually speaks more towards the Incas. And it speaks more towards possibly, you know, Aztecs and so forth. But this concept of this bridge, you know, if it doesn't fit the narrative, they don't want to talk about it. And so the real question is, how did these people get here? And I submit this. You know, if you want to question my logic, just look at the currents. Look at where this tide, you know, look at where this is, and look at where the ocean currents go. Now, here's the question. Do you believe that these people set up in this area of South America to, you know, actually come from the Atlantic Ocean, land somewhere because of the currents? They probably would have landed somewhere close to the Brazil and the Amazon. And so here's a thriving, you know, watershed of, you know, food and all sorts of resources to abandon that, to cross over through the Amazon, to actually get into the Andes Mountains and cross them only to create this these pyramids. That just doesn't make sense to me. It makes more sense that they came across the Pacific Ocean, and based on, because they're south of the equator, that the currents would have actually taken them towards that area to land. And so it's just, to me, it's common sense, logic, and reason that that's where that came from. So here's, I'm just throwing these things out here. You know, what are the real answers? Because what we've been taught is not the truth. There are way too many things that actually contradict, but those things aren't being discussed and they're being suppressed for a reason. But anyway, and I thought I'd give you this because I actually talk about this in my first book, because you got to start challenging everything we've been taught. And, you know, we're not the only ones that have been misled and abused. And the Indians or the Native Americans, whatever, they're not the only ones. We've all been basically abused, and we've all been losing our tyranny. And I do know that the Native Americans are probably saying, yeah, well, that's what you get. Well, folks, it's time to set things right. And there's ways of doing that. And like I said, there's another time and a better place for that. I don't want to, you know, go beyond or go into this too far. But I do want to tell you that if you look at the history of inflation in America, there is a point in time when deflation hits. And people need to start understanding what deflation is and how it is a scourge. You think inflation's bad. Deflation will actually it'll humble even the best of us. The only people that are immune to all of this are the global elites or the people with that kind of money. And so, I mean, some people will be better off because they do have more money, more resources, and so forth. But I am here to tell you that deflation is an ugly monster that is about to unleash. And it will unleash if we move to this digital currency because of the crisis that will occur. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you just could give you this prediction that when we see the digital currency and the global currency be established, and if we get sucked into it, you're going to get pennies on your dollar. In other words, if you have $1 million, you may be lucky to get basically 1,000 or 10,000, 1% or maybe 10% of that. You'll get pennies on the value of your holdings, just due to the fact that we're being pulled in, and it'll be this huge leveling that will hurt everybody. Folks, the designer knows how to hurt people to control them. And this is where I go down this path. When you get yourself into a point where you're being compelled, you know, I mentioned this, I think, yesterday, you know, we all need to be that, you know, Mel Gibson character in Braveheart screaming freedom and be willing to die for it. Because bottom line, if we don't, and we don't start acting now, you know, like it's going to happen tomorrow, then it's going to happen. And again, we keep on hearing these things that the only thing evil needs to succeed is for you to do nothing. So the next thing I want to dive into, because I think this is really important, because I don't think people understand this. The companies are not sovereigns. Companies cannot regulate you, and they are not immune to the Constitution and the laws. We will get into that when we come back. We'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so going into corporations and looking at businesses, how are businesses created? They're not created by the federal government. The federal government has usurped states' rights, states' powers, roles and responsibilities in creating, forming, and governing businesses. And so when a business is established, it starts off in a state, and it, you know, unconstitutionally creates a federal ID employee and all of these other things, or a federal ID number, employee ID number, whatever. Anyway, maybe it's employer ID. Nevertheless, the whole point I'm trying to make is that when these states are established, or not these states, when these businesses are established, they're established in the state, which every state is constrained by the 14th Amendment that says no state shall make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges or immunities of a U.S. citizen. And so when you look at what a business does, can a business actually, you know, mandate that you have to take a vaccination? No, they can't. As a matter of fact, to be clear, they would have to go to the state. Well, technically, what they do is they fire you. And, you know, it's one thing to fire you because you can't do your duties or what have you. But they cannot inflict punishments on you because you are, you know, you are not going to abide by some color of law. They do not have the ability to bypass these constitutional protections that every citizen has. You have to understand this, folks. Businesses are, you know, they may be quasi-private entities, but they are still subject to the supreme law of the land, just like the states are. And the states cannot allow, nor can they enforce. So if a business enforces and says, we're going to fire you because you did not follow our rule policy, basically, when something is enforceable, it is tantamount to a law. And so does the state have the power to do that? No. And this is why businesses are not sovereign. they are subjugated to the state, and they are subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S. Constitution in accordance to the state. I mean, just like the state is. So when you start seeing these types of things happening in business, you need to get a petition. You need to start working on a petition. We actually have a shell of a petition that you can use. And actually, if you decide to create a petition, please work with us, because if you make a petition that is, you know, attacking some tyranny at your state level that violates your constitutional rights, then we want to place that on our repository, on our petition page with Reclaiming the Republic. We're eventually, and I'm going to be working today, and hopefully by tomorrow morning, I will have a comprehensive list, you know, of a bullet of what petitions need to be generated for what purpose, you know, for personal property purposes or what have you, so that we will have a comprehensive list. And actually, it's not comprehensive, but we'll have an initial list of all of the different things that I know of comprehensively in the Bible, or not the Bible, sorry, the Constitution. Boy, see, that's how I look at it. I look at it as scripture. And so we will actually have, hopefully, the 100-plus petitions that have to be written to actually start shining the light on the level of tyranny we're living under. Right now, we're coming close. I'm helping somebody. We're halfway through. Actually, I'm helping Woody out in Virginia. We're creating a petition for medical freedom. You know, or the fact is, and not necessarily, it's not really medical freedom. It is the removal of the federal regulations and federal mandates over the healthcare system, all unconstitutional. Now, your state does have, you know, the ability to have those types of powers enumerated to it. But just like the federal government, it does need to be enumerated in your constitution. And so here are the problems with state constitutions. When the federal government came along and said, and they mandated, and they said, you will do this, then the states usually go and they amend their constitution to meet that mandate and grant themselves these powers. Well, if that happened, then that was an unconstitutional mandate, which means that the Constitution was not properly amended, which means that that role, responsibility, and power that the state possessed is null and void. So what has to happen is you have to amend the Constitution to give or delegate those powers to your state government. And I'm here to tell you, folks, you better be smart in, you know, constraining that so that the state can't actually take over and create a healthcare system. And even more importantly, we want to make sure that there's no way that this will ever be amended, that they can have those types of powers at the federal level or the state level, right? I mean, you want true medical freedom, then keep it out of the hands of bureaucrats. And as a matter of fact, if it belongs anywhere, it belongs in your county. This is why, as you get organized, you need to start talking and thinking about a county constitution, where you're going to basically delegate those types of powers to the county government, not the state. Anyway, so check out, this is really from Missouri, and we have a blank in there. And this petition is really for the violations of your right of assembly and your violations of the right of petition. Now, if your business, your company has a... you know, and it's one thing that you do it, you know, it's one thing that you do it during working hours. In other words, when you're on the clock and they're paying you, but if you actually have an unpaid lunch, which most businesses do, then you have a right to have First Amendment petitions for government for the redress of grievances. You have a right to collect signatures, you know, during everybody else's lunch hour. So if you have a cafeteria, you can actually go down there and create an area for everybody to come and sign these petitions. Now, if your business, let's say your engineering business, and you happen to be, you know, north of Grumman or Boeing or what have you, If your business has a rule that you cannot do petitions for government for the redress of grievances because, you know, it's politics. That's what they, you know, they want to have this blanket clause that you can't do any politics on business grounds. That right there violates your right. And so you have a right to then actually get this petition to basically challenge your business to say, you can't fire me. And you have no right to tell us that we can't on our own time on your property. We're not affecting your operations. We're down here in the cafeteria in a corner, you know, speaking and, you know, and gathering to sign this petition to hold government accountable. And we'll hold you accountable, too. Because no business can deny you or abridge your privileges and immunities. And oh, by the way, you have a privilege and an immunity to assemble as well as petition government for the redress of grievances. So the ability to assemble, to sign a petition, to learn about the petition and sign it that goes to government for the redress of grievances is a fundamental right that business cannot deny you. Divide you. Obviously, it's been a week of tongue ties, and so I've been wrestling with myself all week and trying to get some of these things stated. I'm hoping that this is starting to make sense because, folks, as we assert our constitutional rights and our constitutional authority as sovereigns over our local government, state governments, and over our federal government, we have the opportunity. It's right here in front of us. It's at our disposal to be able to actually, you know, assert our rights and hold them accountable. And the only way to do that is by using First Amendment petitions. Now, I'm not necessarily, because I've only got it's a minute and a half left so of the show. So there's a lot of other things, and there's a lot of things we need to learn on, we need to focus. But bottom line, we're going to be getting into the remonstrance next week. We're going to get into the remonstrance of religion, or Madison's remonstrance on religion on Monday. And so we'll be reading through that. It's a nice little essay that Madison came up with. And I think that this baby is essential so that everybody kind of understands this. I may actually jump ahead and add Madison's essay on property next week. I'm working and I'm hoping to work this out with Paul Venable, that we can sit down and go through the ratification debates and have an open discussion and actually pose perspectives and ideas as we do this. Because, folks, if we look at the ratification debates in the macro view of its importance and magnitude of what it did, your paradigm on the Constitution will change. And I say that because here is where the brilliant minds of the framers, again, inspired by the divine hand of providence, clearly laid out the terms and definitions of our Constitution. And so with that, I hope you're really looking forward to this coming week and actually the coming months, because it'll take us a couple months to probably go through the ratification debates. Who knows? There's that much meat there so that you can start understanding the Constitution. We're here to empower you with knowledge. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.